Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs, and of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, that number to call, 646-727-3070, that's 646-727-3070, and you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant, that's blogtalkradio.com/pgant, and you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Hope all of you had a great day. Good days. Nice weather out here in the East Coast. Indian summer, if they like to call it. And but it's also a nice day to talk some football. We got a lot to talk about today. We're expected to be joined by 11-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle Willie Rofe. Willie, we'll talk all things NFL. Willie, talk a little Vic, talk a little Vikings, and a bunch of other issues in the world of the National Football League. And speaking of Michael Vick, Andy Reid, the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, surprised a lot of us. Surprised a lot of us by deciding that Michael Vick will be a starter against the Jacksonville Jaguars and will be a starter for the foreseeable future. And it's just an about-face from Andy because at one point he was saying throughout this whole process, even after the Packer game, Kevin Cobb is my starter. He said before and after the Lions game, Kevin Cobb is my starter. And he said it at the Monday press conference, Kevin Cobb is my starter. And then he surprised all of us on Wednesday by changing his tune a little bit and changing everything and saying that now Michael Vick is going to be the starter. And Andy said it like this, listen, I can't predict any sorry, that was the wrong quote. He said, when someone is playing at that level, at the level Michael Vick is playing, you have to give him an opportunity. So he is saying when someone is playing at the level Mike Vick is playing, you have to give him an opportunity. And Michael Vick is playing some really, really good football. He threw for 284 yards against the Lions. He was sacked six times, but he avoided a lot more other sacks. And he could have been easily – I mean, if that was Kevin Cobb, I don't know if Kevin Cobb would have made it. And I don't know if Kevin Cobb could have made it behind this offensive line. But when you have a hot hand like Michael Vick, and if you're Andy Reid, you have to go with him. He's the guy who was playing at a high level. I mean, I'm a guy who was under the belief that, hey, this team, the way it's presently constructed, if you watch that defense on Sunday, you got to be a little concerned there. But this team, the way it's presently constructed, is not a Super Bowl team with Michael Vick. And so with that being said, I'm of the opinion that you play Kevin Cobb to see what you have there. You have to see what you have there before you make that decision to sit him down. Because at this point, if things go the way they want them to go in terms of Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb may not see the field again as a Philadelphia Eagle. He may not see the field again. And I guess according to some sources, the Eagles have been getting calls for Kevin Cobb, so I guess there is a market for this guy around the league. And let's be honest, I mean, Kevin Cobb started two times. Basically, he's played three games, if you count that half, in Baltimore. Essentially, he's played three games, and, you know, he had the big three. Let's start with Baltimore in the half where he came in for Donovan in the Baltimore game a couple seasons back. He came in, and he stunk to join up, but it was a tough situation being forced into the game against the Ravens, against that tough defense, and just coming off the bench. But you look at that, but you also have to look at those first two games that he had. 200-300-yard performances last year against the Saints and the Chiefs. He went 1-1, threw 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So he showed some promise there, and basically the team traded Donovan McNabb, the franchise quarterback, and handed the keys over to Kevin Cobb. So this was supposedly Kevin Cobb's team, but there's been talk, you know, if you look at the preseason, Kevin Cobb wasn't great. And also if you look at the first half of the Packer game, Kevin Cobb was not great there. He was bad, actually. And when a guy like Michael Vick playing the way he's playing, it is kind of hard to sit him down, and it's kind of hard to go to your locker, go into the locker room, and tell your players that, hey, okay, Michael Vick just threw for 284 yards, threw two touchdowns. But you know what? Kevin Cobb is our starter, and he's going to be the guy we're going to put back in the game. It's kind of hard to sell that to your ball club, and it's kind of hard to sell that we're rebuilding to your ball club. And in a lot of ways, in essence, this team is rebuilding. I mean, they can say retooling, but when they made some of the decisions they made and trading Sheldon Brown and trading the Donovan McNabb and turning the reins over to a young Kevin Cobb, you essentially are saying to the world that you are rebuilding. Now, they'll tell you that they're retooling, but and no one wants to say the dreaded rebuilding word. But this team, in a lot of ways, is rebuilding. Now, you put Michael Vick in the mix now, and that changes some things. This team, I guess, is no longer rebuilding. This team is trying to go for it now, and they're trying to win some football games. Now, my thing with this Eagle team is, if you saw defensively against the Lions, they weren't good. Sean Hill, and I know you say who? Sean Hill, the Lions' backup quarterback, threw over 300 yards against that defense. And Javid Best, the running back, was just shredding the defense on the screen game and also in the running game. So you saw a defense there that was a little weak and a little susceptible to some things. And I thought defense was their problem last year. I think the defense right now is a problem for this Eagle ball club. And so you put all that together and you have the defense and the way they're playing, and you figure, okay, maybe he goes back to Kevin Cobb because, again, you don't know what you have there in Kevin Cobb. You don't know what kind of player he is. You don't know what kind of player he is. You don't know what you have there. So you figure, you know what? Let's see how this thing plays out, and let's put Kevin Cobb back in the game and put him back as a starter. But Andy Reid has made a decision. He's made a change, and he's going with Michael Vick. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hello?
Yes.
How you doing? It's Willie Rolfe.
Willie Rolfe, how are you, sir?
What a tangle web we weave in Philadelphia now.
I see. No doubt about it. And you know, Michael Vick.
Hey, I know one of y'all was talking about Cobb, and y'all been talking about him. But look, I'm gonna tell you something. They've been watching Michael Vick all season in the off-season program, which is probably the first time Michael Vick has been through an off-season program. Hey, they're not shocked at what Michael Vick did. And I'm gonna tell you another thing. Michael Vick is probably in the best football shape he's ever been in, okay? Michael Vick, now when I played against Michael Vick early in his career, Michael Vick did not win a lot of games on the road. He came to Kansas City, and Michael Vick did not play as well on the road. I remember playing in the division, and it's tough on the road, but we ran him out of the stadium in 2004. I think we scored 56 points that game. We had 8
rushing
touchdowns. But listen, what I'm telling you is that Michael Vick is now a pro. Michael Vick in Atlanta was a different guy. He had a lot of people around him. You couldn't talk to him. And in the situation with Cobb, I mean, the kid is coming off a concussion. The line's banged up, so he, you know, right now he can't. Cobb doesn't need to take a lot of shots. Michael Vick is playing excellent football right now, which I think the team saw he could have the potential to. Now in the preseason he didn't look good. Michael Vick didn't look, but the preseason that count is the regular season. But Michael Vick is more mobile. He moves around better, and now they got to go with him because he's playing excellent football.
Now you saw Michael Vick early in his career. Compare Michael Vick then to Michael Vick now, because now it seems like this guy has some pocket presence now and is not always looking to run. He's looking actually to get the ball downfield.
Well, and let's look at this also. In Atlanta, who did Mike Vick play receiver? He didn't have any receivers. He had AJ, he had Crumpler, the guy, the big tight end who was a Pro Bowl tight end, who was a real good tight end.
But
Michael Vick didn't have the receivers he had. He's got Deshaun Jackson. He's got the other guy, McClain. He's got receivers. He's got the tight end. I mean, he's got some guys that are excellent receivers, and he's got a system with that West Coast system, which I don't think they ran in Atlanta. They didn't run it as good. I think they had Jim Moore Jr. there. They didn't run the West Coast system like Andy Reid runs it. And he wasn't running the same system. So I think it's part Michael Vick has matured a lot. I think it's part the system he's running. Michael Vick feels comfortable running that system. And let's face it, he's got some guys that can burn on that football team right now that they can get down the field and go get it.
Now, in your opinion, do you see it now at this point with Michael Vick in? Is this the end of Kevin Cobb?
No, I don't think it's the end of Kevin Cobb. I think they got a tough decision. If Michael Vick plays well this year, they got money invested in Cobb. They drafted him high. They're going to have a tough decision this offseason if Michael Vick continues to play well. Because, you know, I always thought what I told people earlier was that that Michael Vick has something to prove now. Michael Vick is a very rare special athlete, and he can do a lot. He's also got an outstanding arm, and I think the sky's the limit for him because he's just not going to start reaching his potential. Michael Vick has all the potential because he had a chance to run around. You know, Randall Cunningham didn't run as much late in his career, especially when he went to Minnesota, but he ran around like Michael Vick and could create plays. And when you have a quarterback that can break contain and get outside the pocket, just like Alex Smith. I mean, the 49ers turned the ball over last week, but anytime you have the threat of a guy, as soon as they start backing off and start covering all these guys, and a guy can take off running and get that first down, I mean, it's hard to defend that because, you know, once you start running ETs and running games with the line, and the linebacker might get to a certain point, Michael Vick can see that space and he can go get the first down.
Now, if you look at Michael Vick in this whole situation, you've been in the NFL locker room. How would a team react if they actually did go back to Kevin Cobb, especially the veterans?
You know what? I think Vic has handled it the right way. Hey, what did Michael say? He said, hey, if I got to go back to being the backup, I'll go back to being the backup. So him saying that, now, you know, personally, he might not feel like that, but him saying that and having his teammates back just shows the maturity, how much he's grown up. Okay, and I think the team would have to respect it if Andy Reid went in there and put him back in. But I think the players at this point, with the way Michael Vick has played and going in Detroit, which is not an easy game to win in Detroit. Now that's a hungry young team, and him going up there and taking the lead and then having to come back and win that game showed a lot of poise by that football team. And, you know, I think it would have been a tough decision the way he played against almost coming back against Green Bay. And a lot of people said they could have won that game. And I didn't see that whole football game. But the way he played against Detroit, it would have been a hard decision to take him out of the lineup right now.
So, in terms, project Michael Vick for the rest of the season. How well do you see him playing?
I see the team playing pretty good. You know, they're 1-1. It's early in the season. You know, as long as they can protect him decently, when they got to get down the field in third down passing or second and long situations, that offensive line has got to know. You see, in the blocking schemes, you know when the play is called, there's a pass play that you got to have a play action and get down the field. And if I don't know if you guys have watched the last couple of weeks, but the teams that haven't been able to run the ball and the teams that cannot – cannot get first downs on play action passes have struggled. You've got to be able to protect the line and protect the line of scrimmage, and you've got to be able to have that play action fake that freezes guys so your receivers can get open. So I'm telling you. You know, I went to the Bengal game and the Baltimore game, and Flacco was on his back all day, but like you said, Palmer didn't look good in that game. You know, and Michael Vick has been sharp, and I've seen some quarterbacks that are starting that are making a lot of money that aren't playing as good as Michael Vick right now. But the line is going to have to be able to protect him in those situations, second and third down, when they know they got to pass the ball. I understand sometimes it's going to be a blitz, and sometimes Michael Vick's going to be able to make a play with his feet. But he's going to have to sit in that pocket and throw the ball down the field.
Well, you're an 11-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle. You know offensive line play. If you look at the Eagle offensive line, it doesn't seem like it seems like he's under pressure a lot. And Kevin Cobb was also under a lot of pressure in that Green Bay game. And actually, it ended up with him having a concussion. Talk about that Eagle offensive line. The offensive line doesn't look that great.
You know, they haven't looked great, and it's going to be up to them to be able to, you know, to take the pressure off that line. They're going to have to establish the run and run the ball some, and then create some plays where Michael Vick can spread them out. So I'm gonna have some plays where, you know, we sprint out the protection, so we can slide the line and let Michael Vick take off to the left or to the right and just sprint out on the protection. I mean, with Michael Vick's athletic ability, you know, you can take a little pressure off of that line by spreading Michael Vick out and letting him run some more sprint protection, so the line doesn't have to do things as hard, or, you know, keep a tight end in to help. I mean, if I go into the game plan and I see that a tackle or somebody's having problems, either I'm going to double-team that guy in the middle of the line, or I'm going to keep a tight end over, or I'm going to make sure I got a back over to chip the side where they have the best pass rusher. So if they got to keep a back in to help chip on the outside with one of those tackles, if one of them's struggling, you can fill it out during the course of the game, then you can do that. You know, we always did that. Now, you know, in my case, we always, if we had to protect more, we would put a tight end more to the right side. I knew that I was going to be one-on-one most of this game with this guy. And that's what they have to have somebody one-on-one so you can get that extra receiver out. But if we got a lineman that we know that's a good D lineman, we're going to double him most of the time, or I'm going to put a back in to make sure this guy doesn't beat my tackle. And a lot of times you can't put a tight end on a defensive end one-on-one. You got to get some help because you saw last week, a lot of these tight ends were getting beat.
Now, you said you were at the Ravens and Bengals football game. Cincinnati is a team that I looked at in the offseason, the team I thought would actually go to the Super Bowl, and the team I actually thought would win the Super Bowl. And looking at Cincinnati firsthand, what kind of team do you see there?
Excellent defense. Same thing what you're talking about. Having problems. First, Andre Smith. He's got to decide if he wants to play football or not. Andre Smith is in the game a little bit, then he's out the game. You got the backup in, and he's in the game. You know, if he's hurt, he's hurt. You know, if he's going to play, he's going to play. You know, I don't understand, you know, if a guy is supposed to play, he needs to be out on the field playing. So that's what they got to figure out. Secondly, they can't get the ball down the field. I mean, you got to protect the same thing, protection problems. The costing problems not throwing the ball down the field. I mean, they might have took one shot down the field. I didn't see them take a shot down the field. And then when Chad was open a couple of times, he overthrew him on a touchdown. He's, you know, the cornerback fell down, and he overthrew him on another route. T.O. caught two balls and made one play after the catch. But, you know, I see Cincinnati. The problem is they can't throw the ball down the field.
And so do you think that's a byproduct of the offensive line, a byproduct of Carson Palmer?
What did you say now?
Do you think that's a byproduct of the offensive line or a byproduct of Carson?
I think Palmer's missing guys. I think it's a combination. I think Palmer's missing guys, and I think the offensive line, I think it's a combination of both guys, and they're not on sync. And, you know, they haven't gotten into an offensive rhythm. You know, Benson's running the ball decent sometimes, and then the drive just stalls. So I don't think they've gotten in the offensive rhythm, and they need to get that in sync. But, the line's got to play better, and Palmer's got to play better also.
Now, let's go to the Minnesota Vikings now. Minnesota Vikings 0-2. Brett Favre had a few turnovers in that football game, and first couple games, Brett Favre is starting to act his age and look his age. Are the Vikings a team that you think will challenge for the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think the Vikings will challenge for the Super Bowl. No, and I think the Vikings have lost a couple weapons. I think what's happening to the Vikings is they had a great run last year, and I think they look tired. I don't think they look as fresh as they did last year. I don't think the team is as fast. I think Adrian Peterson's playing fast, but their offensive line is not playing as well. Adrian Peterson has to do so much work on his own to create some of those running lanes. I mean, you get the ball down on the goal line and you can't punch it in three plays. You know, you got to open up some holes for this guy. This guy's got guys in the backfield. He's making a lot of those plays on his own. I just don't see that burst, you know. And like you said, the Saints, you know, it's tough to win in this league. And they went into Frisco, and Frisco turned the ball over, and the Saints made that drive to go down and win the game. And I think the Saints are poised to play because they have a younger team. I think the Vikings are an older team, especially the quarterback and a couple of those D linemen and some of those guys. And I just don't think they look as crisp and sharp. Now, maybe they get better as the year goes on, but right now, no, they don't look like they're ready to contend. They look like they need to try to win a football game.
Now, speaking of the Saints are off to a 2-0 start. They beat the 49ers on Monday Night Football, beat them by 3, got the field goal at the end there. Now, the Saints are coming off a Super Bowl win and a Super Bowl champion. Looking at the Saints, can this team repeat and will this team repeat?
I think they have a good chance. The Saints have what I heard Keyshawn and those guys talk about, they have the easy division. They got Carolina. I don't think the Carolina can beat them. I don't think Tampa Bay plays. Josh Freeman plays pretty easy. He's a good quarterback. Tampa Bay might be able to beat them in Tampa. The only team that might split with them and you can beat them at home is Atlanta. So I think the Saints have the easiest road through their division to win, and they've already won 2 games outside of their divisional games. So they're 2-0 in that. They haven't started the division games yet. So I think if the Saints go 10-6, 11-5, you know, they get Reggie Bush back after 6 weeks, which is a blessing that he's not hurt for the year. I think the Saints, if they get home field or they get a bye week, yes, they got a chance to go back. I like the Saints. And I like the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay lost Ryan Grant, which I think might hurt them later. But the way that daggone defense plays for Green Bay, and I played against Clay Matthews Senior, his dad, Clay Matthews Junior, and AJ Hawk, and all those guys. Those guys play some football, and the quarterback has some weapons at receiver. I mean, they just got to be able to have a running game. So Green Bay, you know, their record and you having to go up there and play Green Bay at home in that cold weather, you know, Green Bay and the Saints are the top 2 teams in the NFC, and I don't see anybody else close to them right now.
Now, so we're going to go to the Cowboys now. The Cowboys 0-2, struggling down there offensively with Tony Romo and those guys. And a lot of people are saying that Dallas needs to become more of a balanced team. They're a team that's been passing the ball a lot more than they've been running the ball. Well, what do you think is the problem there in Dallas?
Well, Romo's played pretty good, though. Romo's put up some good numbers. They're just not running the ball. They're not running the ball with Bobby like they were last year with Felix Jones, and you got to run the ball. And, you know, they got some issues with the offensive line. And, you know, defensively, I don't think they're sound. You know, they haven't been as sound the last 2 years. They had some problems with the defense last year. So I think they got some young guys that got to grow up. And another thing, with the offensive line's got to play better, and they got to run the ball. I mean, they've been passing the ball a lot. Miles Austin, what's he have, 20-some catches for like 300, 400 yards already? I mean, Miles Austin's putting up huge numbers right now. So I don't think the problem's been Romo. I think the problem's been, you know, them running the ball and balancing up the offense, because if you're pass-happy all day, it's going to catch up with you sooner or later. And I think that's the same thing. Cowboys have to have some balance, and defensively they got to play better. Dallas, unless they do a complete turnaround and just start playing real good in all 3 phases, it's going to be a tough year for them also. I don't think anybody in the NFC is tough. The Saints and the Green Bay Packers are the best teams in the NFC, and I don't think it's anybody real close to those 2 teams.
And Miles Austin does have 20 catches for 288 yards and a touchdown. So like you said, maybe Tony Romo is not the problem. It's the imbalance that the team has in terms of the running game in their offensive line.
In the offensive line. And I think Atlanta can sneak in there. Atlanta, you know, they got on Ryan that first week, and he didn't play as good the first week, Matt Ryan. And, you know, sometimes they call you out, and just like the Jets, like they did Sanchez. And Atlanta scored 44 last week. So I'll throw Atlanta in the mix with those two other teams, the Saints and Green Bay. But if the Saints win and they get home field or get that bye, it's going to be hard to come in that Superdome and beat New Orleans.
Now, we're switching gears now to Braylon Edwards and the New York Jets. The New York Jets came off a 28-14 big victory over the Patriots. Sanchez was effective, and he played well. And Braylon Edwards played well, but he recently got pulled over and arrested for a DWI, double the limit. Do you think Braylon Edwards, how much of this will this be a distraction to this team?
I don't think it'll be as you know what, that team is a veteran team and they're used to dealing with distractions. I think they can get past it, but Braylon Edwards has got to be thinking a little smarter than that. I mean, every NFL team has a service. You can call a taxi or a driver, and they will come and pick you up and take you home, and he can leave his car there. There's no way he can get, first of all, behind the wheel of a car with that limit, you know, 1.5 or 1.6, and he's got two of his teammates in the car with him, double the limit, and he's got his teammates in the car with him. So somebody in the group should have told Braylon, or should, you know, that's what your teammates are there for. You know, you go out with your teammates, y'all have to think rationally and say, look, all of us have been drinking, let's call the service, let's get a taxi, Braylon, we don't want to get you in trouble. So, you know, it falls on Braylon, it falls on his teammates, you know, that were in the car with him, and they got to make sure they're looking out for his back, too. Now, these guys also have to know that these cops know these guys are at this bar. Somebody at the bar is telling them, look, these guys are at the bar drinking. They're watching Braylon Edwards get in his car. Now, the cop says he pulled him over for illegal tent, okay? But the cop says he's pulling him over for that. But this cop might have been watching Braylon and them the whole time, saw him get behind the wheel of that car, and then they're going to pull these guys over. But they got to know that. They're marked. You're a marked target. You know, and just like in my case, you know, I mean, I have a chance to get into the hall one day. You know, even with the writers with me, I can't go out here and get in any trouble and get my name in any trouble right now and expect everything to be fine. It's a fine line that we draw, and Braylon's on a contract year. You know, Braylon and I had the same agent for a little while before he went to another guy. But Braylon Edwards is also is in a contract year. The last thing, if I was playing football, would want to get in trouble in my contract year, because he wants a big contract. Now he's taking money out of his pocket.
So it's Braylon. I mean, Braylon has run into some trouble in the past couple of years. He had the little situation outside the club in Cleveland. What kind of guy is Braylon Edwards, from what you know?
Braylon's a good guy. You know what? I've hung out with Braylon. Braylon's very laid back. You know, he's not a demonstrative guy. He's, you know, it was the ESPYs a couple years ago. I went to a party with, it was Shaq's party. I was there with Jerome Bettis. Jerome and I were good friends, and Braylon Edwards and some more guys. And, you know, Braylon went in there, and he was just hanging out, having a good time. You know, he's, like I said, he's a low-key guy. You know, he likes to have fun with his friends. But, you know, Braylon's not a loud guy. He's not a loud, you know, out-of-control guy. Braylon's a real laid-back guy. And it seems like he takes it, you know, he's trying to be more professional on the field. I just think Braylon's had a couple bad breaks. And, you know, he needs to mature now because, like I said, the last thing you want to do is have any negative press on you that the team – first of all, the team is going to hold something against him anyway, and you got Santonio Holmes coming back in a couple games who's looking to have a big year. Santonio Holmes, Cromartie, Braylon Edwards, all these guys are excellent football players, and they all are one-year deals, and they all are looking to get paid, okay? The last thing you want to do when you're trying to get a new contract is be in the press – about getting in some trouble. You don't want to do that. Just like Michael Vick. If Michael Vick knows, and you know and I know, if he plays good, he's going to make some money. And Michael Vick's doing everything. He was at a charity event last night. You know, he's doing everything he can do to keep a positive light. And that's what Braylon Edwards needs to do. So, you know, he doesn't need, and the team doesn't need any more distractions this year. They've had enough in 2 weeks.
Have you ever been in that type of situation, the type of situation Braylon Edwards was in, where you may have had a little bit of drink and...
You know what happened to me? You know, I left New Orleans and hurt my knee and had left New Orleans with a lot of, you know, some mud in my face. And I went up to Kansas City, but it happened to me in the preseason. I went up to Kansas City, had some drinks with my teammates at a bar in 2002, was driving home on the highway, and I did a legal lane change or something, got pulled over, got a DUI. You know, filed for diversion, but you know it was embarrassing to me because I had just gotten up there. You know, I want to make a good impression. I left New Orleans hurt and on a bad note. The last thing I wanted to do was get traded to Kansas City and get in any type of trouble. But I got that DUI. I got put on the program for 2 years. So 2002 and 2003, you know, I was on the program, and if you leave town, you know, you have to call and check in. And Brandon, in the off season, wherever you go, you got to call and check in. Now, if that man comes to your place that next morning, you got to pee. You know, as soon as he shows up, you got an hour and 30 minutes to pee. And in the first 5 or 6 months when I was on the program, I couldn't drink alcohol, and then after that, they let me, you know, I could drink a little alcohol. But, I mean, you know, it was a good lesson for me, and I learned a lot, and it didn't distract from the year. I went on to make the Pro Bowl that year again, and we did okay that year. You know, 2003 was our real good year, but it did happen, and I learned from it.
Now, Braylon Edwards, he is back practicing, and as of right now, I'm hearing that he may not start on Sunday. But do you think the Jets should be proactive here and suspend the guy for the game on Sunday, or should they just?
Well, the incident he had in Cleveland had nothing to do with football, and it was in off season when that situation happened with the guy. And this is his first offense, so it's his first offense. So the league will. The league, you know, no, he shouldn't get suspended because it's his first offense, you know. But he will probably get put on the since he got a DUI. The league will put him on the program. So the league will put him on the program, and they will, you know, he will have to use the bathroom, you know, every week or two for 2 years. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when football season, no, wherever you go, they still gonna come and get you, and you have to use the bathroom.
Well, how random is it?
How what?
How random is it? I mean,
every other week. You're not gonna go more than 2 weeks. They're gonna call you and come get a urine sample from you within every 2 weeks. It's not random.
Wow.
It's all the time. You're on the program.
Okay.
Whenever they, it's not steroid test. They test you for everything. They test you for illegal drugs, but it's not random. They're gonna test you during the season. They're gonna test them probably a couple times a week, and all season they're gonna catch up with them at least 2 or 3 times a month.
Wow.
And you have to call. He's going to have a number in Chicago to call. When he calls that number, whenever he leaves New York to travel anywhere, he's got to call and give them an address and a phone number where to reach them and a cell number. And so when they show up, they're not going to tell you when they're coming. When they show up they're going to show up in the morning. He has to be there within the next hour, and he has to use the bathroom within the hour.
Wow.
They do not play.
We're talking to Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. Now, Willie, this been talk. I mean, we look around the league and we see a lot of injuries, a lot of guys going down. And there's been talk that the league wants to go to an 18-game schedule, and more than likely it's going to happen because it's going to make more money for the league, and if it's going to make more money, the league is going to do it. So if you're looking at the 18-game schedule, how hard is that going to be on a player's body? And is it really doable?
You know, look at all the injuries now. I mean, look at the concussions. Look at the guys getting hurt. I tell you this. And I was talking to my cousin Gil on the phone before I talked to y'all. He was in Cincinnati with me. If I'm playing in the league right now, and they're telling me they're going to take us to an 18-game schedule, I don't know how many preseason games they're going to work out by doing all that. But if I'm a vet in the league, and I've been in the league a few years, and I've been playing, I'm going to tell the team they can have the all-season bonus. Or they need to put it back in my contract, because from February, from whenever the season's over with, till about June, I'm going to get away from football. You know, the problem isn't the season. The problem is all the OTAs and all the being up there in the facility, you got to be there April, May. You know, you're up there, and you got to be there by the end of March, April. Then you're up there for another month or two. Then you start practicing on the field, OTAs, and doing all this. I'm not going to do all that stuff all summer. I'm going to rest my body. Like what happened when I first came in the league, we didn't do all that stuff. We showed up for mini camps, and we showed up to training camp because we had training camp for 4 or 5 weeks. You didn't do all the stuff in the summer, so you were ready to do some football stuff. Well, these guys are getting worn out doing all this stuff all off-season and doing all this running around. Now, if they want me to come to in the off-season program and just do some running and lifting, I'll do that. But football-related stuff, I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do that till June or July, you know, when it gets close to camp. You know, I'm going to save my body and just go to the gym and work out for a couple months, then start doing some running work on the field at a local high school and get ready for mini camp or something at the end of the summer. But if they're going to go to that, I'm not going to be there doing that stuff all offseason. That's too much. You know what I mean? Your body needs a break from football activity.
But, it's going to happen, and do you think – obviously, it's probably nothing the players really can do. I mean, they're probably going to negotiate it when the CBA comes up and everything. But is it doable? Because it's going to be a situation where you have now, you're going to have a bunch of backups playing near the end of the year because so many people are going to be hurt.
Well, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do if you're a good team. You're going to try to clinch your playoff spot and clinch whatever you got to clinch during the season, and hopefully those last couple of weeks you can rest your starters. You know, you're going to have a bunch of backups playing. And hey, if we're going to 18-game schedule, are you going to let me carry a couple more guys on my roster? I mean, we got to add that into the equation, too. If you're going to add – we got a 53-man roster. If you're going to play – 18 games. Are we going to move the roster from 53 to 60 or 58? I mean, so it's different variables we got to add into this also if you're going to go to an 18-game schedule. But if I'm a veteran player that's been in the league a while and we have the same coaches and people intact, you know, I'm not going to go do all – I'm not going to be – if I got 18 games and playoffs and preseason, well, I tell you what, after January, February when this season's over with, don't expect to see me to – June, you know what I mean? I'm taking 3 or 4 months and let my body rest because it's hard. I'm telling you, the hardest thing with me was the older you get, especially when you get over 10 years in that league, was waiting for your body to start recovering. I mean, it would be, you know, about my 11th, 12th year in the off season. You know, I would go to California and I would rest up. I would go get on the elliptical and do a little something, try to do a little stuff. But my body was so tired and so beat up that, you know, it just took longer and longer and longer for my body to recover. Well, finally, the body wasn't recovering until, you know, May or June anyway, and your body starts feeling better. I mean, you know, you take all the anti-inflammatory, you take the Toradol shots, you take that stuff, man, and when you stop the season, you just try to cut all that stuff off cold turkey, all the anti-inflammatories and all that stuff, where your body's like, you know, man, you've been giving me all this stuff for the last 3 or 4 months. Now you're not doing anything for me to make my body feel better. So it just wears your body out, man. So like I said, you know, if they're gonna go to that, then I gotta rest up in the summer. I'll see those guys in a couple months.
Now, well, I want to go off the field for a second here because I was reading here that your mother actually was the first black woman to serve on the Arkansas Supreme Court. Talk about that.
You know, it's very. I come from a very special family, man. My dad was from Pine Bluff, and was with co-valedictorian of his high school, and you know was. Didn't from a poor family, big family, 89 kids, had to go to Michigan State to play football. My mom was from a middle-class family that grew up in Mesquite. She's born in Nashville but grew up in Michigan. They met at Michigan State on a blind date, and my dad tore my knee up, so, you know, his football career got cut short, but he went on to go to dental school at Howard, and my mom and him were both zoology majors, and they moved back to Arkansas, and my dad had an office with my uncle, and, you know, him and his brother had an office together, and they came back and did a lot in that community. And my mom went to law school right after I was the last. I have a small, younger brother, but after I was born, my mom decided to go back to law school. And you know, after working in the private practice. She got appointed to the Arkansas State Supreme Court and went on and had a wonderful career as a judge and went in the Arkansas Black Hall of Fame. And so, you know, my family is very well established. I have two sisters, that one is a Episcopal preacher that went to Harvard and Princeton, and my other sister is my sister Mary and Phoebe are very intelligent, and me and my brother were we weren't pushed to study as much. So I say, in my case, I had excellence academically with my family, and so, you know, in my eyes, you know, I achieved excellence in the football field. I mean, I just chose to do it in another form, my mom passed away July 1st, a year ago, God rest her soul, but she'd be very proud, you know, of what I achieved and trying to get myself in order and do stuff the right way, and you know, she'd be real proud of me now, but my mama was a very special woman, and my family, is a special family. So, you know, I had a great time growing up in Arkansas. I had a lot of fun, and like I said, I had a lot of guidance. I have a lot of guidance.
It sounds like a Cosby type of situation there.
Kind of Cosby, you know, but my dad, you know, my dad's child of family. We grew up down there in Arkansas, so my dad has a lot of family down there, so. You know, it was good. You know, I grew up with the best of both worlds. I have the side with the intelligence and the side with money, and then I have my family in Arkansas that didn't have a lot. You know, that my dad
right.
and my uncle took care of a lot. So I grew up with, you know, I say I had the both best worlds. I went to the Episcopal Church. I grew up Episcopalian, and then I went over to where Toy's mom and my dad went to church, to Indiana Baptist Street, where my dad's family all go to church. So, you know, I got to have it all. So it was great.
Now you are eligible now for the Hall of Fame, and so I guess you're waiting on that call. That's not going to come till later. But do you believe you'll be first ballot?
You know, I don't have anything to do with that. You know, if they call my name, like I said before, if they call my name this year, I'll be very appreciative if they do. You know, I think I have good numbers. In New Orleans, I went to Pro Bowls, and a lot of those teams weren't that good that I played on. And I went out there and played hard, and my teammates respected me, and my opponents respected me, and you know, in Kansas City, I had a chance to really play on some real good football teams with some good players, and we put up some real good offensive numbers, and I had a lot of fun up there, you know, those last 4 years in Kansas City, and I went to the Pro Bowl another 4 years when I got traded. So, you know, like I said, if they call my name, I'll be very appreciative, but I also know that you got a lot of guys been waiting around a long time to get in the Hall, and I got to see the guys that got in this year in New Orleans for the opening when I called you. Remember that Wednesday night when I was down there? And we had a lot of fun, and Richard Denton and a lot of guys that aren't in there yet were there and I have the utmost respect for those guys, and they like me and I like them, and we have a good time. So to me, whenever they call me, I'll be happy and I'll be appreciative. It doesn't matter to me, you know. I just. Whenever they call me, I'll be ready to go and pay my respects to all those guys and members of the Hall that have gone before me and do the best I can do up there on stage with, you know, and carry myself in a way that those guys will really be proud of me. When you get in that group, just like you, with people to do shows like this, you know, you just want to make sure you make your peers and the old timers proud. You know, I just want to make sure I make them proud.
Now, Willie, you talked about you played on a lot of bad teams in New Orleans, and looking back at your career now, do you say to yourself maybe I wish I would have got a ring and wish I would have played on some teams that would have got a ring? Is that something that's missing for you, or is something that's just it is what it is?
Well, you know, I would say this. I'm not gonna say I wish I would have got a ring. I wish I would have had more opportunities to play in the playoffs. You know, we had the fortune of winning the first playoff game in Saints history. I was on that team. I had the fortune of going 9-0 in Kansas City and finishing 13-3 and getting beat by Indianapolis after a bye week. So, I mean, those are the only two times I got to really play in the playoffs. So I wish that I could have got to play at the next level and got a chance to put my talent on display and my teammates put our talent on display, you know, in the playoffs. Because in the playoffs is really when you're supposed to step your game up, and every play is just that intense. Every play counts, and playing with that pressure on the line is very special. So I wish I would have had a chance to play in more pressure situations in the playoff games.
Now, Willie, we last time we needed a Super Bowl prediction from you, and you told us when you came back that you have one for us. Willie, it's about that time. Who is the team that will become the 2010 Super Bowl champions? Willie?
I'm here.
Who's going to be the
team? All right, let me take it. All right, I'm going to say I got New Orleans, and I got the Houston Texans in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And I got New Orleans winning because of the experience.
So you got the Saints who will repeat.
I got the Saints.
So you really believe in that Houston Texan ball? I mean, two solid performances.
I like Baltimore. You know what? I like Baltimore. The defense is going to have to carry them. I mean, they just. I like Baltimore. I do like Baltimore. I like, you know, and Marshall Faulk and I talked about the secondary and how they're young. I mean, they played pretty good. They look like the Baltimore Lions. They don't do it every week. And it's wrong because I'm predicting after a couple weeks, but.
I'm cheating a little bit, but
Baltimore, I like Baltimore. They got to be able to go down the field too. They played good against the Jets, but they didn't do anything against Cincinnati. You know, and they had problems protecting the quarterback too. I mean, so I like the Houston Texans. I like Andre Johnson, but
we'll give you a pass. I mean, you're 11-time Pro Bowler and probably a future Hall of Famer, so we'll give you a pass. We'll give you a pass on that, even though you did cheat a little bit.
I did cheat a little bit.
But we thank you for stopping by, sir, and we definitely have to do it again throughout this year, and it's a good time talking football with you.
Man, it's always great, man, and y'all have a good weekend, and I'll be looking to see what the Michael Vick experiment does this week.
We'll see. I mean, he looked great.
I'm really proud of him for stepping up and being accountable after everything he's gone through and he's doing the professional thing, and like you said, Cobb, you don't want to see Cobb get out on that field and get hurt or get another concussion right now. I don't want to see that.
But then real quick, while we have talked about Mike Vick, before you go. Is there a noticeable difference between the Mike Vick who first came into the league with all the fanfare and all the stuff that he had thrown at him to the Mike Vick now who on the surface looks a little humbled at this point? But is there a difference? Are you noticing a difference?
He's been humbled, but it's still Mike Vick. It's still the Michael Vick with that swagger and knows that he can go out there and take over a football game. And he's been humbled, but he's still. You got to play football with an edge, and you got to have some cockiness about you. I mean, he's still cocky. Don't get that wrong. He's cocky, but he's cocky in a good way. He's cocky in a football way. You know, he's had to do some maturing outside the field, but on that football field, you got to get out there and make sure those guys know that I'm still Michael Vick. I still can get out here and do some things that other guys can't do, and he knows he can do that still.
Now, one more thing. Would you trust him again to be your franchise? Atlanta, they made him the franchise down there, and they had a situation with the dogs, obviously. But would you trust him again to be the face of your franchise?
I would trust him. I would make sure that I stipulated some. You would have to stipulate stuff on the contract. But I think the way he's carrying him stuff, yeah, I would trust him. I would trust him to go out there and lead the team, and you know, hopefully he doesn't get in any type of situations. Because when football, the thing about this is, when football's over with, Michael Vick is going to be Michael Vick, the ex-football player. So it's going to be a little different. You know, things are different. You're not protected as much. So, he has to understand that, and everybody understand that. As long as he's playing football, you know, he's still going, everything's going to be great. When you're done playing football, it's going to be a whole different ballpark. And that's when, you know, his family structure and the people around him that support him and give him that guidance is going to be very important to him. And it seems like he's doing a good job getting all that together.
Now, what are you up to nowadays?
I've been coaching. I still need to finish my degree. And, I'm just spending a lot of time out here in California and going back in New Orleans and going to help my son with his team. You know, he's playing Little League football now, and I'm going to go down there and help out with him, and we'll see what happens. I got to finish my degree, and then we'll go from there and see where the next chapter will be.
Is any coaching possible in your future?
Well, yeah, I've coached junior college. I coached junior college last year at Santa Monica, and I did some coaching at East Mississippi a couple of years ago.
Okay. So, Willie, we thank you for stopping by, sir. And again, we definitely want to hear from you again throughout the NFL season.
Okay, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, take care.
All right.
Willie Rolfe, 11-time Pro Bowler, talking football. And having fun doing it. It was good getting Willie's insight on what's going on around the league. And this is a guy who is going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it. He's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. And it was good to get his insight on what's going on in the National Football League. And if anybody else has any thoughts, the numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hey, this is Mark calling from New Jersey.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm real excited about Michael Vick getting this opportunity. I think it was the right call. It was just a little confusion with Andy Reid saying Monday Cobb's quarterback, then to the Tuesday switching it to Michael Vick. But I think he made the right decision.
And maybe it was a situation where everybody looked at film and also got the pulse of the locker room. And there's no way, I mean, if you look at it, how can you tell the locker room that a guy who had two impressive performances, threw for 175 yards in one half, and then came back and threw for almost 300 yards, 284 yards to be exact, against the Lions, and actually could have won the first two games of the season. So it would be kind of hard. My only thing with this whole situation is the situation with Kevin Cobb. I don't believe this team is a Super Bowl team with Michael Vick, with Kevin Cobb, or whoever's starting at this point. And I'm not even sure if they're a playoff team with Michael Vick or Kevin Cobb as a starter. So my thing is maybe they put Kevin Cobb in to see what they had there. Because at this point, you may never see what you have in Kevin Cobb.
Well, I mean, from what I've seen in Kevin Cobb, he looked horrible in the preseason. And
he definitely hasn't proven himself to be anything. He had the 200-300-yard performances to start last year in his first two starts, but again. My whole thing with the whole argument with trading McNabb was it was only two starts, and you can only judge so much from those two starts.
You think they got rid of McNabb so they know they don't have to pay him next year?
Well, it might have been a situation with the extension. McNabb wanted an extension, and maybe they weren't willing to do it. And some people believe that, though, with Michael Vick, the whole plan was for Michael Vick ultimately this team to be Michael Vick's team. So, I mean, you never know. But you figure they did give Kevin Cobb $12 million. So you're not really sure how the situation is going to play out. And you wonder if Kevin Cobb will be moved. I mean, if Michael Vick, what I brought up on Saturday is you look at Michael Vick. He's 30 years old, but he's missed 2 years of football. So in a lot of ways, he might be 28 years old, and he might be 28 in football years. So he's 30 years old, but he missed 2 years. In some respect, he could be 28 in football years. So if you look at it, he's in the prime of his career.
I think so. I think they'll win this week, and I don't think it's. I think they'll play another good game, but like I think he won't get tested until maybe the next game when they play Washington.
Yeah, Washington's a pretty good defense, so that should.
Yeah. I think
tell
that's
you a lot,
we could really measure how good he plays.
Yeah, and it should be interesting how this thing plays out, but watching Mike Vick is just very, very exciting. It is at the least, win, loss, or what have you, he's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for your call. So, I mean, that was a guy who wanted Mike Vick, and he's glad that Michael Vick is getting the opportunity. And, you know, I'm glad, ultimately, that Michael Vick is getting another shot at this thing. If you look at it, he's a guy who a lot of people to this day still hate the man for the dog situation and everything. And in some respect, rightfully so. I mean, I guess people do have an argument about that. But my thing is, the guy, he went to prison, he did his time, and hopefully he learned a valuable lesson. And hopefully, and learning that valuable lesson, he'll come out a better person. I mean, if Michael Vick can come back from this, I mean, you got a great spokesperson for dog fighting and against dog fighting. So in a lot of ways, a lot of people can win here with Michael Vick making this comeback. All the Humane Society, those guys can piggyback on this guy, and he could be an excellent voice against dog fighting. And I think also you look at it, Michael Vick was a guy who got caught up in being Mike Vick. And what I mean by that, he got caught up in being a superstar quarterback. He got caught up in being a $100 million guy and making all that money. He got caught up in all those things. But I think he's a guy that, in a lot of ways, he made some mistakes. And he's a young guy. I mean, he's 30 years old. That's young. I mean, your 20s, you do make a lot of mistakes. And if you imagine any of us, if you imagine 22, 23, 21 years old being handed the keys to a franchise and being given all that money, how would you act? Would you be able to keep your friends at bay? Would you be able to do all those things? It's a tough question for us to answer, because we could sit here and say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do this. But you don't know if you come from nothing and you come into a lot of money. I mean, it's just like hitting the lottery. You know, and a lot of people who hit the lottery eventually go broke. So my point is, with this guy, if you ever get in a situation where money was just thrown at you, millions and millions of dollars, how would you react? And so what I'm saying is, don't judge the man. I mean, what he did with the dogs was wrong. There's no doubt about it. You can't get around it. He was a little dumb by it. He was a little stupid. He actually had the things on his property, on property that he owned. So that wasn't smart. All these things weren't smart. He had the kennel on his property, which wasn't smart. He did all these things that weren't smart. But ultimately, you hope the guy learned from his mistake, and he had the situation with the party. Again, a poor judgment, but a guy who he didn't do anything, and he was innocent of anything there. So he didn't do anything there. But he's a guy in a lot of ways that I'm rooting for this comeback, and I'm glad that he's getting this opportunity. And if he's truly humbled and truly a changed man, then this time around will be much, much better and much more sweeter for him. But, again, it's great for him to get this opportunity, in my opinion. And I know a lot of people are still, again, holding on to the dog thing, but at some point you got to let it go. A guy has paid his time and has paid his debt to society. At some point you have to let it go. And, he made his mistakes. He made his mistakes. We all make mistakes. His mistakes just happen to be in the public eye. So it's just something for all of us to think about and something for all of us to ponder as we watch this man actually make a comeback, in which could be a great thing against dogfighting, because he could be a key guy, the face against dogfighting. He could become the face against dogfighting, and the face which could be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback and a quarterback who may have a bright future ahead of him. So we wish Michael Vick I wish Michael Vick nothing but the best of luck as he makes this comeback. And anybody else, if you feel differently,
who cares? But we want to thank Willie Rowe for stopping by, and Willie's 11-time Pro Bowler, and Willie eventually at some point, he will be a Hall of Famer. So we thank him for stopping by and giving his insight. Always good to get the insight of Willie Rowe. And you can listen to this show and past shows on blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And thanks for all the listeners. As of right now, this show is a featured show on blogtalkradio.com. So make sure you continue to listen, and make sure you tell a friend or two, and we'll just continue to have a good time talking sports and having fun doing it. Again, we want to thank Willie Rowe. And again, you can listen to this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/GAN. And you can follow me on Twitter at GoForItGAN. So, before GAN, which is me, everybody have a nice night.